Hey guys, I'm Jazz. I'm going to be reading the Bible for us tonight. We're going to be reading from John 15, verses 1 to 17, which is page 752 of the Red Pew Bibles, if you wanted to follow along. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
It's a pretty good view from up here. As I look out, normally I see a room full of people, but today I'm looking at a vineyard. You're all a big bunch of branches. What we've heard in this reading is Jesus saying, I am the vine, God's the gardener, and you are the branches. So I'm looking at a room that's a vineyard. I'm looking at a room that's in many ways very fruitful. But also we all know that we need some pruning and there's some dead wood. And tonight, therefore, is about how can I be fruitful with my life? What would it look like for me to live a fruitful life? And there's things that stop us from developing fruit. There's also things that help us to develop fruit. And what is the fruit that we're trying to produce with our life? These are some of the questions we're thinking about tonight. And in the end, if we take this passage in, it will help us to have a more fruitful life. We open up verse 1, and Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Hey, quick shout out to my dad. He's literally my father, the gardener. And I thought I'd go there a bit because it's Father's Day. It sounds a bit like a tangent, but it'll come good, I promise. My dad has a farm on the other side of the Blue Mountains. He's meant to be retired, but he just couldn't get enough of the farm life. So he's moved out there like most weeks. He's out there doing plant stuff. He's got 15 types of lilac. He's got a bunch of viburnum. Here's some of his crop from last spring. That's pretty fruitful. He takes that to Hills, the flower market at Terry Hills, and sells it through that, and to Flemington markets and sells it there. On the side, there's a bit of an orchard vibe. So here's a photo from last week. We've got some lemons. He said to me, don't buy any lemons. So that he doesn't sell that. That's just like, we just got lemons all over the place. In the end, I think it's just a healthy vineyard. My dad's running a fruitful business. But the thing about this fruit, here's where it becomes relevant, is that you've got to put it in the fridge, or even the plants, you put them in buckets of water to try and keep them alive. You might even throw some preservatives in the buckets so that they can stay alive. This fruit doesn't last. And today we get God the gardener making a vineyard that lasts. That's the distinction. It says it near the end of the passage that God's appointed, Jesus said, I've appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. My grandfather had a flower called the forget-me-not rose. Here's a photo of it. It was planted at his house. And when he died, my dad took that plant and he put it on his farm. And now when we look at this, this is the current crop. When we look at this rose, we think of my granddad. In many ways, the flower is symbolic of human life. It's beautiful when it's flourishing. But how we wish that we didn't have to just keep life as a memory, the forget-me-not rose. I get to this passage today, and it's about fruit that lasts, and I wish that people lasted. I wish that the fruit of our labors lasted. This sounds like good news. So we jump into this passage, and Jesus says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now, I just want to underline the word true, because what does it mean he's the true vine? I'd say this stands in contrast to the vine that came before that failed. And if you've been studying this in your growth groups, if you've been looking at this passage, some of you might have gone and looked in the Old Testament, because we've seen that the vineyard was a thing in ancient history, that God described the people of Israel like a vineyard. And I just wanted to pick up, you might have looked at Psalm 80, I'm going to pick up Isaiah chapter 5, and we're going to work through it a little bit for the backstory to why Jesus is the true vine. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 4. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I've done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. This is the backstory on the vine. That God took these people out of Egypt and planted them on a fertile hill. And he said, you are my vineyard. But they failed to produce the fruit that God was seeking for them. There was bloodshed. There was distress. What were they doing wrong? What led to this injustice? Well, in many ways, they were busy doing what a lot of us do. And this calls for a little bit of self-reflection in our own lives. You read on in Isaiah 5, woe to you who add house to house and join field to field till no space is left and you live alone in the land. This is the pursuit of life's people are trying to earn enough to get a house and then get the vineyard and the garden. Well, garden, probably not a vineyard. But, you know, you're trying to build towards this. That's what they were focused on. And the passage goes on. The Lord Almighty has declared in my hearing, surely the great houses will become desolate. The fine mansions left without occupants. A 10-acre vineyard will produce only a bath of wine. A homer of seed will yield only an ephah of grain. So this is a picture that God is angry that they're so focused on building their own mini vineyards that he's going to make them fruitless. He's going to take away the fruit of their crop and their mansions. And then he goes on to say in verse 11, woe to those who rise early in the morning to run after their drinks, who stay up late at night till they're inflamed with wine. They have harps and lyres at their banquets, pipes and timbrels and wine, but they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord, no respect for the work of his hands. It's that last bit in the sentence there that really captures it. They're so enjoying their parties and their drinks. They have no regard for the work of the Lord. It's not so much about what they do, it's what they neglect. They have no care of God, no care of what they're meant to become. God has set them aside to be a holy people. He's set them aside to be a fruitful people that the whole world will be blessed through. And they have neglected the work of God. And this is where we've got to pause and ask ourselves whether we care about the plans of God and the work of God, or whether we're trying to just build our own mini vineyards. You can be fruitful in business, you can be fruitful in life with wealth and family and all kinds of different avenues. But that's not the kind of fruit that God's talking about in this passage. And one day you'll get to the end of your life and you'll look back and you'll say, hey, was my life fruitful? And you might say, yeah, I got a house, I got the garden. And God says, well, that's not the fruit that lasts that this passage is speaking of. You can be fruitful in all kinds of places, but Israel neglected their purpose. They neglected God's purpose. They neglected God's work. And so the vineyard became rotten and full of dead wood. It was the failed vine. And Jesus comes along and says, I am the true vine. And if you think about Jesus' life, he talked about what he came to do. He said, my food is to do the work of God. My life is all about doing the work of God. And when he got to the end of his life and he's dying on the cross, he cries out, it is finished. Because he finished the work that he had come to do, God's work. He is the true vine. And do you know what the fruit of his work is? Do you know what the legacy is? Do you know what he has accomplished? Well, we look around tonight and we see all these people here, 2,000 years later, we are the vineyard that he's produced, full of branches, full of life, the living vineyard. We could do with a bit of pruning for sure, bit rough around the edges maybe, but we're the vineyard of God. And he might have died 2,000 years ago, but for someone who didn't even own a property, you know, foxes have holes, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He didn't have a property. But look at his legacy. He didn't even have the privilege to have kids. But look at all of us. He has left us with his inheritance. This is a huge legacy. And the fruit of Jesus is amazing because it's a fruit that lasts, as we've already been saying. And that's why in the rest of John's Gospel, we keep hearing about this language of eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. One of the great verses we keep coming back to, John 3:16, what's it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish like lilac and lemons, but have eternal life in the vineyard of God. This is what it means to have something that lasts. The vineyard of God lasts forever because it leads to eternal life. There's no use-by date. What is it that lasts? Eternal life. That's not a metaphor. That's literal. Jesus explained in John 11 that he is the resurrection and the life, and you will live even though you die, and you will live even you'll come alive through faith in God so that you have a relationship with God that never dies. So you will never die if you come. Who? It says there, whoever believes. And this is the invitation. You might have come here tonight as a member of a family coming along. You might have come here tonight as church isn't your usual place to go. If you look into Jesus, this is the real take home for you, is that what he offers is lasting and it has to do with eternal life. And I hope you'll come back for the next few weeks while we keep looking at the beautiful teachings of Jesus, because it's stuff that lasts. Now I want to speak to the topic of our fruitfulness, because we don't want to become dead wood. We don't want to become fruitless or withering or dry. We want to be, blossoming and bursting with fruit. So how can I have a fruitful life? We pick up verse 5 in particular and it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. This is meant to be exciting. If you remain in Jesus, the vine, you will bear much fruit. Not you can bear fruit, like it's possible. It's like you will if you remain in the vine. He's very optimistic, and he gets even more optimistic about prayer, because you hit verse 7 and he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is another exciting and optimistic promise that there is a God who wants to answer your prayers to produce a fruitfulness in your life. In particular, if you're praying there in line with the words of Jesus as his words remain in you, and as you're praying towards the Father's glory, it pleases God to bear fruit through you. Be excited about your prayer lives and pray for fruitfulness. we can and will be fruitful if we remain in Jesus, in the vine. Of course, we need some pruning. We need to grow. We need to trim those bits around the edges. So what is this pruning and how does it work? We pick it up in verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. This whole section is about pruning. And I've put up there actually two verses that are about pruning. And you might think, well, how's the second one about pruning? And it's because the word prunes and the word clean is the same word in the original language. So you can't see this in the English, but in the Greek, it's like one of those words that has a double meaning. The root word has a double meaning, like bark, a dog barks, or you could have bark on the side of a tree. It's got double meaning. And here, it's about pruning or cleaning. And the way that you become pruned is because of the word as it transforms you, as Jesus speaks to you, and through faith you listen, it prunes you, it changes you. In one sense, it happens, we know from our faith in Jesus, that God has washed us clean completely through what he achieves. There's a past tenseness to it. But then there's also this pruning that's more seasonal, that's going on in your life so that you're constantly listening and abiding in the word of God. That's how we get pruned. But what is the fruit? If we stick to the teachings of Jesus and let the word of God change our lives, what's the fruit that we would expect to see? Well, lots of people move into this final paragraph and they say that the fruit is love. Because if you were to summarize the last paragraph in our passage today, you'd probably say it's all about love. Love's mentioned 9 times, and that's kind of like the key theme. But what's the connection between love and fruitfulness? Because already, you know, we've had these two first paragraphs that seem to be all about vines and vineyards and fruitfulness. And then there's this whole paragraph about love that doesn't make it clear what the link is to fruitfulness. At the very end, there is one comment on fruitfulness about you've been appointed to bear fruit that will last. But what is the connection? Is love the fruit? Well, the one word that carries through the whole passage is the word remain. I think it helps us to understand the connections between the second and third paragraph. It's all about remaining. We've already heard Jesus said you need to remain in the vine to produce fruit. Now he says, remain in my love. And I take it he means you need to remain in his love to produce fruit. You need to remain in the vine. You need to remain in his love to produce all kinds of fruit. In other words, love isn't just the fruit. It's like the energy that produces even more fruit. Love that you experience goes into your heart, shapes it, and brings about all kinds of great outcomes, including joy. That's one of the ones mentioned in our passage. When you experience the love of God, you find joy. We could go back and think of the Israelites and their failure, and the language in that passage was that they didn't pursue justice and righteousness. Well, love produces justice and righteousness. And the whole New Testament speaks of all the different fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, even love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all the different aspects. They all flow out of this remaining in Christ and remaining in his love. And all of that is meant to be on view. If you want to have some energy in your life to produce fruit, then have a listen to this. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. This is Jesus speaking to his friends saying, hey, just as God the Father loves God the Son, so is my love for you. And we're meant to understand as the reader of John's Gospel that even though he's saying this to his friends, he actually would mean it and say it to anyone who would come to him. Come in faith, he would look you in the eye and say, I love you with the same love that the Father has for me. We are brought up into the love of God. Let that energize your life. He goes on in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus is looking at his week ahead, knowing that he's about to die, and then he's looking at his disciples and his friends, he calls them friends, and he's looking at them in the eye and saying, I'm about to go and do that because of my love for you. And as the reader, we're meant to understand that Jesus would look us in the eye and say, hey, I die for you. I would die for you. I will die for you. So if you need a bit more energy in your fruitfulness, come and remain in his love. Remain in the vine. Experience the love that he has for you. Permanent love. Amazing love. Love isn't just the fruit. It's the energy that drives the fruit. It's like the sap that goes through you and brings nutrition to your life. So if you want to be energetic to have a fruitful life, remain in his love and let his love flow through you. Which is why in a few minutes' time, we're actually going to sing a song. And I want to invite you to just see the lyrics on the screen to know what it is that you're going to be singing, so you can consider if this is where your heart's at. We're going to sing this. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. So when you sing this, if you mean it with your heart, it's as if you're saying, Jesus, like, I want to have your love, not just in my life. I want it to lead me so that I love like you love. Lead me to others. And that last line, lead me in your love to those around me, is a real sender. It doesn't let you live inwardly. It pushes you out. Not only do I want to love my family with all my might, love my father, love my dad, love all of my family, I want to love my church, love one another as I've loved you, is what Jesus says. Not only do I want to love my church, I want to love my neighbor, I want to love the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. That's the heart of God. And I must admit, on Father's Day, that really strikes me, because I'm a dad, and God the Father said to his son, I want you to go and sacrifice your life. Do something truly fruitful. Go and bear lasting fruit at cost to yourself. I know for me as a dad, I want my kids to have good school, good friends, you know. I want them to get a house and have a garden. This passage is saying that's actually not fruit that lasts. Dads out there, what you are being called by Jesus to seek in when you sing those lyrics, I want the heart like your heart. God himself has a heart for the world that wants his children to sacrifice themselves, his son, one and only, but our children to sacrifice themselves for the cause of loving the world. Wouldn't it be great if when you sing this song, you could mean that you want to be like Christ? Oh, how we need pruning to love the world like he does, to lay down his life. Would you be willing to take up your cross and follow Jesus, to put down your life, the pursuit of the house and the garden, and prioritize the work of God to see people glorify God and see Jesus and be embedded into the vineyard that lasts forever? And as parents, would you want this for your children? Do you want your children to be missionaries? Do you want them to sacrifice themselves and go? This is the kind of work that bears remaining and lasting fruit. Only God can plant a vine with fruit that lasts forever, and he has Jesus Christ. So if you want to have a fruitful life, introduce people to Jesus, the true and living vine, so that they could have eternal life. And we've already heard tonight that coming up, we've got Share Life Sundays. And Share Life Sundays is an opportunity, like one of the best chances you can have to help people come and hear about Jesus so that they can be nourished by his amazing teaching, so that they can then become involved in the vineyard and bear fruit that lasts into eternal life. And I just wonder, out of everyone in the room, whether you're someone who's excited about Share Life Sundays, or whether you're more going through the motions. Because I'm not too fussed in the end about an event or a moment or a program. That's not the big idea here. What God wants to know is, where's your heart at? Has it been pruned by the love of God? So that the thing that you want most is to lay down your life so that the world can know his love. Such an opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity to bring people that you love. I want to finish with another dad story. This is one of my great memories walking around Terry Hills, where I grew up. This is probably when I was like just at the end of university. And my dad and I walked around Terry Hills knocking on doors to talk to people about Jesus. I don't know if you've ever done that kind of thing. It's pretty intimidating. But this was new for us. Like, this was new. And it was new because a little bit more on my dad. He didn't go to church when I was growing up. He was busy working on the farm. We grew up in Terry Hills with 9 acres and flowers and that, and he'd be home doing the tractor stuff on Sundays while Mum took us to church. And one week, my dad used to say tongue-in-cheek that hockey was his religion, because he was a good hockey player and he used to play a lot of hockey. And it wasn't the best religion when he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, so he turned up at church. When he came to church, I was quietly like, this is exciting. And I was praying about it, but I didn't want to get too intense with him. Like, I didn't want to talk to him directly about it, because I'd tried to talk to him about this stuff before and it was just starting to get a little bit awkward. I was like, give him some space. And he started coming regularly, and I was like, this is good. Oh, please, God, would this lead to something? And I didn't know where he was at, but about 6 months later, the church ran a mission, and it was like, we're going to spend a week on mission, and we're going to do some door knocking in Terry Hills. And I was like, cool, I'll sign up for that. And so I signed up, and then my dad signed up, and he took the day off work at Temple's Florist Sundries. He took leave, and he came door knocking. The thing that's the best part of that story isn't that just my dad and I had this great memory of doing something fruitful that lasts. It was actually the realization that my dad is a fruitful branch and that he's in the eternal vineyard of God. And that makes me so excited. My grandfather, that forget-me-not rose, when I think of my dad who's still alive, I'm so thankful to know that the forget-me-not rose isn't something that I have to keep, that my dad's just a memory. Because my dad and I share in the eternal vineyard of God.